right, Pastor, it must feel good to get that service over and done with. Hey? Yeah, you've already taken off your blazer. Now I can just take it off and undo a little button there, Dean. Hey? He's having a go at me for not wearing a tie and having my shirt tucked out. But I was saying to him, it's been a while since I've worn such nice gear. I can't really fit into it anymore. This shirt used to be able to tuck in, but I've grown a pastor's body, and so now it's just tucked out. So, yeah, doesn't matter with all the theological training I've been doing for the last 5 years. It just matters what food I've been eating. Mum, thank you very much for that. You've literally grown me into becoming a pastor. So, guys, thank you. Thank you so much for your encouragement. And thank you for the acknowledgement as well for today. I just really want to just extend a warm welcome to my extended family who are here today. If you can just welcome them, please. Thank you for coming. My ex-colleagues from Dry Kirkness Chartered Accountants. Contrary to rumours, I did not work for a dry cleaning company, but they share the same difficulty with having to pronounce a surname and spell it all the time. Yeah, is it Kirkness or Kirkness? Yeah, or is it Ung or Ung? I don't know. But also, they're a family here and people from my Bible college, from Trinity Theological College as well, if you can give them a warm welcome. And there's even a whole bunch of people from Lake Gwellup Christian Church as well. So thank you for coming, guys. And there's also the people online who are watching who couldn't be here physically. But, you know, thank goodness we've been starting to live stream our services now. And so they've got the ability now to watch that online. So people from Malaysia and Singapore and the Eastern States, they're all watching as well. So thank you, guys. This message is today for the rest of you as well. Really what I call my First Light family. This is really a long-winded 25-minute way of saying something in two little words, which is thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for the way that you've supported me over the years and the way that you've believed in me as well. I thank you for your encouragement. If I can have the next slide. The first thing I want to say thanks for in this church is thank you for reaching out to me. To Lap and Tracy, these guys hold a very special place in my heart. And to understand it, you have to understand the special relationship that there is between Dry Kirkness, Chartered Accountants, and First Light Church. Because it is at this Dry Kirkness accounting firm that I first met one of your own, Tracy Chan. And she tricked me. Oh, does that say reach out? No, she tricked me. Not reaching out. No, she tricked me. Yeah. She asked me to come to an event. And I was suspicious. I thought that it would be some sort of churchy, outreachy event. And she said no. She said it was just a bunch of friends getting together. How naive was I? I still remember rocking up to this event, which was a fun-sounding thing. Laser tag, sounds nice, up in Joondalup, driving around, and I knew something was going to happen to me because I just saw a sea of people with black hair out in the car park ready to rock and roll and shoot laser tag. I thought, gee, Tracy has a lot of friends. And then I realized, no, this is a church thing. This is what they do. How naive was I? But if it wasn't for that innocent invitation that someone did outside of work hours, Martin, you don't need to worry about whether she was doing work or not. It was that invitation that really did it for me. And from then on, my friendships exploded. So to understand a bit more about me, before 2008, before I came to First Light Church, I was very much a person that only had maybe one friend. I honestly found primary school and high school very hard to get through. And I had never experienced the kind of friendships that I experienced at First Light, especially in my early years. So as you can see, my first year of joining Facebook exploded with friends, and this was before Facebook was about stalking people and boosting your business pages and managing your online presence and following influencers. No, it was before that. It was when legitimately you had friends and you just said, add a friend, and they accept. And when they accept, it really means that they're your friend. It exploded. So there is a whole bunch of people here who I'd like to thank for that. I've mentioned Tracy and Lap, to Geraldine and Leon, to Jeremy and Evie, to Pastor Matthew Sen and Adeline, who are currently serving in Thailand, and to an entire cohort of First Light young adults at the time. People like Kay, Naomi, Tim, Alvin, Kong, Michael, Steph, Dillis, Y, Daphne, Naomi, Angeline, Josephine, Nathan, Jacinta, Doree, Kelvin, and Evelyn. These were people who invested in me. These were people who really cared about me coming to know who Jesus Christ is and wanting me to know that good news, that he was the one who saved me. It is a very hard thing to do. I know that you can all appreciate it, of having to outreach to someone, let alone in a workplace, but especially those close to you as well. It is an uncomfortable feeling that we have, yet this group of young adults at the time reached out to me and brought me in. They nurtured me. They showed me what genuine friendships were about. They were willing to teach me about Jesus, and I was ready to listen. They were willing to teach me how to pray or show me. They were willing to teach me about fellowshipping together as a community, so much so that my mother was concerned that this was really a cult. But they're not, I'm pretty sure. It's just... Right? But they were also willing to hear my prayers, things that were really going on inside me, things that I was really struggling with, things that are really going on inside the soul. I was able to share that with these people, and they were ready to listen. They were willing to walk alongside me and be a very physical presence in my life that I appreciated. So no longer were my prayers to God just done in private, but suddenly I had about 20 people in my life who were praying for God to help me in my time of needs. Whatever my struggles were, I could be vulnerable to share my heart, to talk about anything under the sun, whether it be work or family or the Bible. And I thank you that I had these people around me, because it meant that I was no longer lost wandering around by myself, that I could actually find a community, a place of belonging. And that really is a place of belonging with Christ. But these guys showed that to me every week, and every time we messaged, and every time we hung out, and the next laser tags after that. So all I had to do is really get used to seeing 20 pairs of shoes outside the front door of my house every time I had an event on. There was a bit of a cultural sort of adjustment, but that was nothing to what I received from this community. So that's the first thing I want to say thank you for. And the second thing is, I'd like to say thank you for showing me grace. So to understand grace and the effect that it had on me is to understand that I, before coming to church, lived a life of thinking and feeling like I was very much guilty, like I was very much condemned, Like there was a standard that I was just not hitting and was constantly reminded of that. When you live like that, when you live a life of feeling guilty and condemnation inside the heart and inside the head and inside the heart, it really gets to you and it really helps you, helps make you feel alone in life. And so one of the things that really did it for me and really gave me that breakthrough to reconnect with God is because I kept coming to this church and they kept on preaching this word called grace. And as I made myself vulnerable to hear what this word meant, I understood that the feeling of guilt and the payment for that guilt, the punishment for that guilt, was an ordinary feeling. But there was something about Jesus that made it so that I would be declared innocent and give me a life of freedom, a new freedom, which we call a freedom in Christ. That was like a pressure blow-off valve for me, a huge burden taken off my shoulders to know that Jesus Christ had fully accepted me despite how guilty I was and the punishments that I deserved. This is why it's called the good news. This is the good news that we should be known for. And I thank you that somehow through these people, through the preaching of the gospel, it got to me. After that, by understanding grace, I understood that I was now living a life in Christ, and that comes with many benefits. Think Centrelink benefits, but on steroids. I mentioned before about all the massive friends that I made along the way. That's community. That's family. It helps because I look similar to them. I don't sound the same, but I look similar to them. And so they kind of look like an uncle or an auntie. It has its benefits. If you don't remember someone older's name, you just call them uncle or auntie and you're all good. You've shown them respect and honor. And that goes a long way. No, but there are other benefits. A freedom in Christ meant that I could really focus on God, where are you leading me to? No longer am I wandering all by myself, but I can now think, God, where are you leading me to? And he was answering. He was answering through prayers. He was answering through the people in this church who would remind me of how much he loves me and how much he's taking me to somewhere. So I found purpose. A very valuable thing to find is in life is purpose. I found belonging and I found people who would drop everything to help me in my times of need. And that is the kind of love that I had never, ever had. It is something deeper than what an ordinary family could provide me. It is something unique to a church. And so I thank you for doing that. And I encourage anyone to reach out to people because there's this, what I'm talking about is nothing that you can experience outside of church. And the third thing that I'm thankful for is the many opportunities to discover my new life in Christ. So our church does what's called, or used to do what's called VWAPs, Vacations with a Purpose. The idea of it is to get an experience or an exposure to missions, and that's usually something done overseas. You would work with a team and then you would venture off. For me, it was to Chiang Mai, to Cambodia, and to have an experience of seeing God doing something in a completely different country in a different context. The people that I met along the way, the people from low socioeconomic families, the people who truly relied on God to survive every day in the mountains of Chiang Mai made an impact in my life. And I could only have that exposure through this church. I'd never experienced anything like that outside of it. So we went over to Chiang Mai as a team. We went over to Cambodia. We ministered to children. And to see the love for God that they had, little children who had nothing on their feet, barely any clothes and barely any food, the thing that got them through life every day was God. And it came from these missionaries who would offer that to them, that would give them the good news every day. They would come to the houses to share. They would come to worship, to sing. It opened up the world to me, and to know that God wasn't just in this church, it wasn't just in Perth, but He really is the God of the world. And He can reach all those people. And I'm just grateful that I had that opportunity to be able to witness that. So God, You really are bigger than I expected, bigger than I anticipated. The other thing that I'm thankful for is more opportunities to do church camps. Church camps is a thing as well. I have never experienced anything like it. Why would you want to go to Club Capricorn in Yanchep and pay $1,000 to stay at that accommodation when you could be going to Malaysia or Singapore or something for maybe two nights? I don't know. I don't get it. But then I understood. Funny things happen at church camps. Funny things like God giving me a dream. Yeah, that's right, Melina. I'm going to tell them the story. So this is the funny thing about church camps. It's a heightened experience of God. Like you stop your work, you do your jobs, and you stop, and then you drive, and then you just focus on God for an intense sort of like weekend or something, or maybe 4 days. And you talk about God nonstop. You sing to Him nonstop. You hear about Him nonstop. You pray together nonstop. And so one of the weird things that happened to me was I had this dream. A dream that I was having a nice, pleasant chat to Melina in a chalet. That's all we did was chat. And I enjoyed her company. Now, I was not into Melina, okay, I must say. But this came out of nowhere. And the guy that I bunked with claimed that he had no idea that I was dreaming that, but I slept talk that night, and all I said was, come back, mooncake. Now, if you tell this dream to someone outside of church, they're like, you're a nut job, right? But when it's in a church, you go to the retreat building that you're supposed to go on time, and you're sitting there ready to serve. But no, in church, what happens is you get a tap on the shoulder the next morning, and you get Melina saying to me, hey, do you want this? And what she holds out is a mooncake. Now, I don't like mooncake at that point in time. I really didn't. My mum's been trying to feed it to me. I hate it. It's disgusting. That's what I thought. So I looked at the guys and they said they were just losing it. But they had said to her, because her dad had apparently given her a mooncake because it was around Mooncake Festival. It's a very logical explanation for all this. And so she offered it to the friends and the friends said, no, but you should ask Jeremy if he'd like it. Now, I knew that I had no chance of getting Melina, even though I enjoyed her company in my dream. I knew that I had no chance, because she had Sister Ads or Sister Grace, being the older sister, to say, you got to get through us to get to her. And I just went, I can't be bothered with this. But it took me a year, again with church folks, encouraging me, why not, why not, why not? What do you think? What do you think? It took me a year to work up the courage and finally ask her out, as you do. So I thank you that I had a brother in Christ who I could say, this is Jez Deng. Jez, I think I'm ready. I think I'm ready for a relationship. In my head, it's like a little bit more holy. It's more like, I think God really wants me to be in a relationship. But I don't know what it was. But it took me a year to finally ask her out. And she said yes to a coffee. And at this coffee, I explained to her the whole dream context and said, don't worry about it. But I shared with her and I said, so what do you think? And what do you think she said? That's right, she said no. And we went home and it was really awkward to come to church the next day. To which I did not come to church. Because I was doing what I was supposed to be doing, which is studying for my CA exam. That's right. Martin, I was studying really hard and I was focused. But see what I mean? Like, these are weird stuff. I've never ever thought that I would reach a community or find a community that would take such joy and delight in seeing these weird things happen, okay? The end of that story is that I just sat and waited with God. After she said no, I did go home and I cried. I listened to Celine Dion all by myself. But I had good Sister Adeline to say to me, Jez, what do you really care about with Melina? What do you want for her? I said, I just want her to be happy and have a good man. And Sister Adeline said to me, well, don't you think God's going to do that for her? I went, oh, damn. You're right. And that just gave me the peace. God, you had this, and so I waited. And then a month later, I got a text. Hey, we need to talk. And one day I'll let you tell that side of the story, Melina. But the rest is history. And because of this church, I found my wife. I found my life, then I found my wife. And now we have two beautiful boys, Oliver and Jonah, who have been barracking for me to hurry up and become a pastor so that the assignments can all be finished, the exams can all be finished and be done with it, and we can finally rejoice as a family, and finally that day has come. So thank you, First Light, for preparing Melina, and thank you, God, for ushering me to my wife and my beautiful children. Which brings me to the last thing I want to say thank you for, which is thank you for believing in my calling to become a pastor. It really started with a Pastor Richard at a church camp praying over me, saying, in 2 years' time, you're going to become a minister for God. We're a little bit late, Pastor. And then me asking Lap, what does that mean? He said, I don't know. Helpful community, right? No, but help did come with Brother Jez, who asked me, where do you think God's calling you to? What a profound question. How would you know? I said, I see myself doing what Pastor does. He said, what's that? I said, I don't know what Pastor does, but whatever he's doing, I still don't know what he does. But after 10 years of having that call on my heart and coming close to continuing a new season of a partnership at Dry Kirkness, I knew that God wanted me somewhere else. And so that was one of the hardest things of my life, was to give up that partnership, that opportunity, and to become a pastor. People had warned me, think about it, pray about it. It's not something to be taken lightly. So I took my time, but the clock was running. And the good thing was, even though we do lots of accounting and tax and audit work there, we had two Christian men at the time who owned the company, who owned the business. And they were two Christian men, plus a Greek Orthodox guy who was becoming a pastor. That's Dean. I counted him as close enough. So we had three Christian men at that time who was saying, we get it. We get it. And I shared with them what's called my calling and how I wasn't able to proceed with becoming a partner anymore. It was 2 or 3 years of actively working towards that abandoned. But they allowed me to drop my workload to a part-time basis, which wasn't an easy thing to do. And they allowed me to spend the other time of the week at a Bible college, Trinity. And the experience that I've had at Trinity is something that I never thought or expected. I'm grateful that I was at a college who would teach me the scriptures, who would teach me how to read it, apply it and teach it, and live by it. I'm grateful that I had a partner who explained to me at the time that what I was about to do isn't what people normally do. But because we share the same faith, he understood why I must do it. And he said, you'll be great. So by extension, when you accept Christ and become part of a church family, it's not just this church family that you belong to. It's the bigger church family. It's God's. So that was a blessing to know that they were supportive of my decision. And so the last slide is how I want to close. And it's a passage. I thought it's about time that I read some scripture to you. It's a passage from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 to 4. And it says this, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. If I am to be a pastor, I have to be a shepherd. And this passage brings to light what a shepherd has to do and be. Someone who watches over his flock. That's you. Not because I'm nosy or a control freak or doing it out of obligation, but really believing that this is where God wants us to be. And I'm willing to participate in this, to work with God, to see his goodness running through each and every one of you, to journey with you, to listen to you, to sit with you, to work through the tears rather than avoid them. So when we see the word shepherd, let us remember the good shepherd passage from John's gospel. In Jesus' own words, he said in John chapter 10, verses 14 to 18, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Do you get that, church? Our Jesus, our Savior, the one we follow, laid down his life for us. He went to the cross. He went there on his way to die to offer his life as the final sacrifice needed to give us an innocent verdict, a freedom, and a new life. And so I want to keep following the one who saved me. He laid down his life for me, so I will offer mine up to his. My family, they've got no choice, but they'll come with me. No. I'm grateful because I've got a loving wife who supports this. She can see what it's going to cost. But she'll still walk with me. And she will have two little minions cheering us along. So yes, this means sacrifices have been made and there will be more to come. But they're all worth it. You're all worth it. And so pray for me. Pray that I don't give in to dishonesty. Pray that I pursue our chief shepherd rather than my own desires and my own ego. Pray that I continue to be eager to serve him, even when times are low. And pray that I have the humility to not let the title of pastor go to my head. Pray that I remember that it's his grace that saves and not myself. And pray that my example of growing in Christ can inspire you and others to know him and see that he's worth following. Thank you, First Light. God bless you.